me the second verse.
He shall return some glad day, a blessed appearing for those who've obeyed. Every tongue shall confess him to be the Lord of lords. They shall bow to the power of his name. At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, since chains are broken, the captives set free. At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, hell trembles and Satan must flee. At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, since chains are broken, the captive set free. The name of Jesus, hell trembles and Satan must flee. At the name of Jesus.
Good evening. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. Turn over to page number 139. 139, let's everyone stand, everyone sing together at Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. On the last, the love that drew salvation's plan. The grace that brought it down to man. The mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
If you would remain standing, we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Ceylon, would you pray for us tonight?
Amen. Choir, would you stand with me? Church, you can remain seated. Turn over to page number 57 if you need it. Let's sing the first and the last of Amazing Grace.
I want sorrows and fears pass away. Heartaches soon vanish, and burdens can stay. And wounded by sin, there is healing when you call on His name. At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, sin's chains are broken, the He shall return some glad day, a blessed appearing for those who've obeyed. Every tongue shall confess Him to be the Lord of lords. They shall bow to the power of His name. At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, sin's chains are broken, the captive set free. At the Satan must flee. At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, sin's chains are broken, the captive set free. At the Satan must flee. At the name of Jesus.
Thank you for your hard work.
Good to be here tonight. Good to see each and every one of you. And at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, there is no greater name than Jesus' name. And that's what we preached about last Sunday morning. We talked on the subject of in Jesus' name, why we conclude in Jesus' name. Appreciate the Lord tonight. Appreciate you. Thank you for the prayers this morning for our girl, and we going to hit this week wide open, not looking back. And we just appreciate your love and support, and good to be here tonight again. And well, I don't know how much I'm going to be here this month of December. I'm sure I'm going to be here at least a couple Sundays and hopefully a couple Wednesdays. But it is December, and we want to preach on Jesus tonight, open up the Christmas story if we could, and lift him up for just a few moments. I don't want to miss an opportunity to do that with everything going on this month. And Of course, we're going to strive to have communion on the 15th, Christmas communion. And so we've got a lot going on, a lot on the calendar. We'll just see what the Lord will have us to do. But if you have your Bible, please make your way to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Please remember Miss Lucy Godfrey in your prayers as she gets better. Everybody on our prayer list from... of course, our children's home, which is here tonight. Good to see everybody. And but let's do remember them and their activities and functions daily. Continue to remember Miss Diane Ely as she recovers from her back surgery. A lot of back surgeries going on. They're right, Brother Allen. And so let's continue to remember her. Spoke with Brother Randy Ely the other day, and she is getting better. Taking a little longer than expected, but she is getting better. So we praise the Lord for that. Continue to remember Brother Leonard and Sister Dolores Palmer in your prayers. And again, everybody on our prayer list, just grab your bulletin and stay up to speed, up to date on what's going on with all of them. Thank you for the ladies who came to the CLU today. I wasn't there, but thank you for coming. Christmas fellowship. And I heard you guys had a good time. Christy is keeping Lily at home tonight just to lessen her chances of getting sick before her surgery. So you just remember them. And good to have missionaries here again with us tonight. Denise, got it. Praise the Lord. So good to see y'all. And y'all were such a blessing. So thank you for dropping by one more time. All right, let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read one verse, that is verse number 7 out of Luke chapter number 2. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, Lord Jesus, for who you are, for what you do. You are our guide and our God. We just yield and surrender to you. Tonight I pray for a fresh touch. This isn't just time to fill the pulpit to get to 6 o'clock and go home. Lord, I want to preach tonight like it's my last time preaching. And so, Father, I pray you add your blessing to your word. And I pray that you'd speak to hearts that are here tonight, those watching on Facebook and listening on our website. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's going to be our main verse tonight. I want to talk to you about the delivery. The delivery, or a special delivery. Got a lot of deliveries about to take place this month between local stores, department stores, Amazon, and so many deliveries going out. But there's only one delivery that ever has been that is so special, and it's a one-on-one delivery, and that is the delivery of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so we appreciate Him coming. That's why we have decorated the church. That's why there's a tree in the back. That's why all the attention and the lights or decorated in the church. That is to ultimately lift up Jesus Christ because of his birth coming into this world. And Tonight, I just want to mention just a few simple things that stand out to me about his delivery. So much can be said. And again, I don't know how many chances I'll get to preach on Jesus this month, but I do want to mention some things tonight about the delivery. Number one, there is before the delivery. Before the delivery, we have silence before the delivery. I've mentioned this several times through the years, but it still stands true today. From Malachi to Matthew was a space of about 400 to 500 years. And these are known as the silent years, or some of the silent years. This was a space of, if you would, time when there was no open prophecy. There was not really any preaching. Everything has been said from Genesis to Malachi concerning prophecy, which it did flow from Genesis to Malachi concerning the coming of the Messiah. You can go back later and read some prophecy in Psalms, some prophecy in Isaiah, Malachi 3:1, Micah 5:2. Prophecy flowed from Genesis to Malachi. And from Malachi to Matthew was just silence. There was no prophecy. It was just darkness. In fact, man did that which was right in their own eyes. We know that from the end of the book of Judges, but it continued on. Nothing was said. Nothing was preached. Nothing was prophesied. There was just silence. But before the birth of the babe, this silence continued again. But then the waiting time was over. After 400 to 500 years, there was a cry from an open field, and that was baby Jesus. He had come into this world as prophesied. Now, I want to say this tonight, as we're looking at these silent years when nothing was being said, nothing was being done, just absolute silence. We can apply that to our life in the times where there's silence from the Lord. There's times in life where we don't sense Him. We can't track Him. As Job said, we look to my left and He's not there. We look to the right where He doth work. He's not there. I go backwards. He's not there. I go forwards. He's not there. There are times in life where we just can't trace the hand of God. We don't know what He's doing. We're just in a place of newness. He is no doubt working and doing things. We just don't know what exactly it is He's doing. You remember when Abraham called for Hagar and they had a child, and the child's name was Ishmael. And we know that after that situation, that the Lord, He was silent on Abraham for at least 15 years. Complete silence. And then when the Lord finally spoke to Abraham, He said, "Abraham, walk thou before me and be perfect. Be mature. Grow up. I hope you've learned your lesson." And so tonight, there's many things that can be taking place in the silent times of life when God seemingly is not speaking. And like we said this morning, the stillness is when the dew can come. When the dew can come, as we preached out of the book of Hosea, chapter number 14, verse number 7, where the scripture says, "I shall be dew unto Israel." Dew comes in the stillness of night. Dew comes in the darkness of night. So while there may be night times for us, and there may be times where we're going through trials and testings, let us just hope in the Lord. Let us just cling to God, cling to His promises. He is surely working. God is doing something. So tonight, when it comes to this delivery, we see before the delivery. And this was what's taking place, just silence. Well, There's going to be another silence broke one day. Jesus is coming back for his church. And when he does, that silence will be broke. And we will be caught up together with them, the dead in Christ, to meet the Lord in the air. So there's before the delivery. Now, I want to look at not only that, but the beginning of the delivery. The beginning of the delivery. At the right time, Jesus was born. At the specific time, Jesus was born. Not a minute, not a second too early. Not a minute, not a second too late. But at the right time. Don't turn there, but in Galatians chapter 4, in verse 4, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." God works in time. God works with timing. And I want to say, as we mentioned this morning, and of course we've been talking about Lily and her surgery, this is the fullness of time for her. Again, 10 years ago, we found out that she had scoliosis, and man, it was a heartbreak to me. I didn't know how to deal with it. And so God was working on me for 10 years in Christy and coming to terms with what we have here. And so finally, the fullness of time came. Not a minute too soon, not a minute too late, but at the right time, Lily is going to have her surgery. Now, I do want to say this about the story here of Jesus that was born. There in Bethlehem, I want you to notice in chapter number 2, as we're in already, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Now, God set in motion these events so that prophecy could be fulfilled. He initiated them. Things started happening. And Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem as predicted in the Old Testament and had baby Jesus. And so we see here that Caesar Augustus sent out a decree for taxation, or an enrollment, or a census to be taken. And we know that Joseph was born, Joseph was from Bethlehem. He's in the genealogy there of the Gospel of Matthew. But he was born and he was a native of Bethlehem. And so that's why he went back to Bethlehem. That's why Mary and Joseph went there. And so what we see here is we see that the Lord, he worked on the heart and the mind of Caesar Augustus. Now, Caesar Augustus didn't know that he was a tool that God was using, but he was indeed an agent in which God used to get Mary and Joseph back to Bethlehem for prophecy to be filled. Can I say tonight that the Lord is always, always orchestrating things. He is always orchestrating events in our lives. He is always pulling strings, bringing things together, working over here and working over there. And so my thing is tonight, let us comply with what God might be. We just don't know what God might be doing tonight. It may be a time of stillness for you. It may be a waiting time for you. There may be some things going on in your life that you're just not sure of and you're praying about and nothing's happening for you. Could it be that God is pulling some strings? Could it be that God is orchestrating things? I think He is. Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose." And so there's the beginning of the delivery. At the right time, at the right place, this decree went out and it allowed Mary and Joseph to get to Bethlehem and it fulfilled prophecy. God is in the orchestrating business. Now, let me mention another thing.
not only the beginning of the delivery, but then we see beyond the delivery. Beyond the delivery. After the birth, there were some new realities for man. Notice, if you would, in verse number 11, salvation has come. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This was a new reality. The Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, the prophesied Messiah, he had finally come in the form of a babe lying in a manger. But not only that, but in verse number 14, peace has come. Peace. Verse number 14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus is peace. Like the old saying goes, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. You say, what in the world? All right. K-N-O-W. No Jesus. K-N-O-W. No peace. N-O Jesus, no peace. N-O Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Got it? All right. Peace has come. Peace has come. Isaiah 9:6 says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. And so we see here that in verse number 14, peace has come. But then proclaiming has come. Look at verse 17. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. The gospel message began to be delivered. The Messiah came. The Messiah's here. Peace on earth. Everyone come and see the child. He is here. All right. And so we see that. But so we see the beyond the delivery, there's salvation that has come. Peace has come. Proclaiming has come. I mentioned a moment ago these words in Isaiah 9:6. Let me just take a moment to expound a few moments on some of these words. If you want to turn to Isaiah 9:6, that'd be good. Isaiah 9:6, listen to this. He says, his name shall be called. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. These are some other realities about this delivery, or the babe, or this Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. What is your estimation of Jesus? Is he wonderful to you? Is he wonderful only in the good times, or is he still wonderful in the bad times? Whether he's wonderful to some or not doesn't change the fact that his name is called Wonderful. He's wonderful tonight. To some, he may not be rendered wonderful. He may not be wonderful to some because of some setback or heartache, something beyond the control of an individual, and so they blame God. But if we're all, if we were all to stand tonight and give a word of testimony, we can see that God has moved in our life at some point and done something to render him wonderful. God has allowed some good things to roll our way. God has blessed you and blessed me, and we have nothing to do with it. God is just, he's wonderful. So the name Wonderful means marvelous. It means miraculous. Can I say this about the name of Jesus being called Wonderful, Marvelous, or Miraculous? He had a miraculous birth. This birth was labeled impossible. Hasn't God done some impossible things in your life? The Lord has done some impossible things in my life. Guess what? He's wonderful. He's miraculous. He had a miraculous life. He performed miracles. Has God ever performed a miracle in your life? He has mine. Number one, the miracle of salvation. How in the world could anybody change my life when I was going this way, stop me and turn me to go that way? Only Jesus could do that. Only the Lord. He's wonderful tonight. He's miraculous in his birth. He's miraculous in his life. He had a miraculous death. He gave his life for mine. He gave his life for yours. No one else would do that. He had a miraculous resurrection. He arose. We need resurrection power daily in our life, don't we? We have access to that. His return will be miraculous. We will disappear. Well, one day we're going to be like this. The next day, now you see me, now you don't. Of course, we will be in that number together. Wonderful, but then counselor. Quickly, let me mention this. Counselor means to advise, to resolve, to counsel. This word is a distinct attribute. It denotes one of honorable rank. One who is suited to stand near princes and kings as their advisor. This evening we have a counselor. We have one who comes to our side, who stands near us to advise us. He counsels the unbeliever in Isaiah 1:18. Don't turn there. Come now, let us reason together. He counsels the believer in 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so we have counselor, but then we have the mighty God. And the word mighty here, the word mighty means powerful. It also means warrior or a valiant man. We have a mighty God. We have a warrior even tonight. This describes his divine nature. He is mighty to save the lost, mighty to sustain the saved. He is our hero, our warrior. He's the ultimate first responder, I'll say. He saves from fires. He resuscitates the dying. He's the ultimate 911 operator. He's our shepherd, our friend. He's at every funeral. He's at every celebration. He's the unseen guest at every home. He is the mighty God. And what a blessing that is tonight. He's the everlasting Father. He's the eternal Father. The lasting Father. He's the perpetual parent. He's the forever Father. We have a forever home. What a blessing that is. Psalms 27, verse number 10, the Bible says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's the everlasting Father, the perpetual Father, the forever Father. The Lord has adopted us. You know, it tells us that in the Bible, that we have been adopted. Now, adoption is special because it means, Brother Peter, that you were handpicked. You were chosen. That's what's so special about it. And guess what? We all, Brother Allen, have been adopted into the family of God. I mean, you know, we're Gentiles. We have been engrafted in. We're not Jewish. Nobody that I know of, maybe not, I don't know. But I believe we're all Gentiles in here tonight. And we have been engrafted in the plan of salvation. We have been adopted into the family of God. Now, because I'm adopted into the family of God, Brother Selon, I have access to everything the Lord has. I now have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. The same that a person of natural birth has access and has a deed and has inheritance is the same an adopted child has of that same parent. We have an inheritance. We have power. We have ability. We have access. We have all of these things because of our adoption. We will never be parentless, homeless, or poor while we have this permanent parent watching after us. Of course, this doesn't mean that we won't experience hunger or we won't have to hunt for a home at some time in life. It just means that Jesus will provide because He is our Father that lasts forever. He is our everlasting Father. I love what David said in the book of Psalms, chapter number 37, verse 25. For I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I believe it was when we all went over to sing at Brother Alan Barrett's Barrett night. We sang a song. I don't know how many was in that choir. I don't know. How many would you say, brother? At least over, probably about 100, more than that. 150, 200 people in that choir. And one of those songs was, that I have not been forsaken, nor seen his seed begging bread. That was so powerful to me, and that was such a blessing. But truly tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is provider, He is sustainer. And again, as David says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So He's the everlasting Father. And then lastly tonight, and we'll be done, He's the Prince of Peace. He's a prince because He's a son of a king. That's what princes are. And princesses are daughters of king. All right? And so we have a prince here. He is the son of a king. He is born a prince, his father being king. He's not just any prince, but he is the Prince of Peace. He is the author of peace. He brought peace on earth when he was born. We experience peace in our hearts when we accept Jesus as our Savior. This peace we have in salvation isn't dependent upon circumstances, for in the hardest situations of life, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is always present. Doesn't mean we won't feel life, it just means we will make it. Since we met the Prince of Peace, I'll say this in conclusion. We are to be peacemakers. Peacemakers, not peace takers. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We are to not only be peacemakers, but we are to let peace rule in our hearts. Do you have peace tonight? And then lastly, in Romans 5:1, we see that we have peace with God through our Prince, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Prince of Peace. All right, tonight that was just a short little message on the delivery. And better than any delivery at Christmas time, anything you can get through Amazon, whether some may agree or not, Jesus is the ultimate gift. He is a special delivery. So I hope you got something tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. It's been a long day for some. I pray that we would just go home and be appreciative of what you've done today and reflect on what you've done today. And Lord, just help us live for you in days ahead. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may stand to your feet. We'll give a verse of invitation. If nobody comes, we'll close out.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to God, I come.
guys. That'd be enough singing tonight. So good to see everybody. All right. Well, everybody have a great week. Be safe. Brother Ceylon is going to be teaching for us on Wednesday night. And Brother Allen has a full cart next Sunday.
That's all right.
Thank you, brother, for stepping in
and
helping out. And we'll be in touch. We'll give some updates, let you know. Brother Ceylon will have an update for Wednesday night, but we'll try to get out some updates during the day on Wednesday. And we love you. We appreciate you. And we will see you back probably the Wednesday after next or somewhere around there. I'll be in touch with Ceylon about it. So, all right. Anything else to mention before we conclude? Okay. When is that? Okay. Praying for you, buddy. All right. Miss Glenda? Remember this request. Any more requests tonight? Mary Kay? Okay. Let's remember this. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else?
Also, please remember there's no meal train this week, but if you can help out with gift cards, that'd be greatly appreciated. If you want to bring those on Wednesday night, I'm sure Brother Ceylon or Ellen, Miss Lee Ellen will be able to get the gift cards to Pastor and Miss Christy. Anything else you want to share with that, Lee Ellen?
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. And again, not trying to be rude or unkind or anything. We just want to have private time during the operation on Wednesday. So the best thing you can do for us, our request, is just pray. Just pray. And we appreciate that. And hopefully we'll be home from the hospital, if everything goes right, around Friday. So we'll be going in Wednesday and coming home sometime Thursday or Friday, maybe. All right. Thank you. Appreciate you. We love you. All right. Well, tell you what, Brother Peter, would you close us out in a word of prayer? So good to have you tonight, brother. Yeah. Got something you want to share? Yeah, come on. Come on. Yeah. Anything else you want to share? Go ahead. We got a few minutes.
Thank you very much.
Good having you, brother.
Something for you. Amen.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay, let's pray. Our gracious Father, thank you, Lord, for this message you've given us. And we must always remember, as believers in Christ, Jesus is always on our side to keep us strong, to keep us away from temptation, to show the people around us there is hope for the worst of us. God, I pray you bless this man, his family, the church family, missionaries being supported here. I pray that this church would grow and show the neighborhood there is a place of worship where people can come.
Amen.
And know Jesus as their Savior. As we go home, let us remember before we go to bed, maybe to read a little verse, but to pray also.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for everything, and we give you all the glory, praise and honor once again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're at liberty to go. Be safe.